This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly. When you're on.
And it is hot here in central Pennsylvania. That's all I got to say. I could talk about the weather for the next 90 minutes here on The Kevin Kelly Show, but I won't. I won't bore you. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again. Another episode of The Kevin Kelly Show. Father's Day is this Sunday. I'm going to spend it cutting the grass and working in the yard. What are you going to do for your dad, or what are you going to do as a dad for Father's Day? Now, if you're in the NBA and you've got a lot of kids, Father's Day could be a pretty good day for you, couldn't it? I mean, in addition to the presents that you're getting, you're probably meeting some new kids. Oh, I remember you. That's right. Your name was. That's right. Oh, whose baby is that? Oh, hello. Happy Father's Day to me. Well, anyway, we got a cool episode here tonight. We're going to talk a lot of sports because it's a great sports time of year. I think the spring, early summer time as we're getting through the Stanley Cup and getting through the NBA Finals. And Major League Baseball's kicking off. Everything is you know, right here. U.S. Open in golf is this weekend. There's a lot of stuff going on, so we're going to talk a lot about sports. We're going to talk a lot about what's going on in wrestling, news about Daniel Bryan, news about The Shield, and we're also going to talk about Ring of Honor because that's what I like to talk about. And our guest this week is going to be none other than one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, my good pal Bobby Fish. Bobby's going to join us later on. We'll talk about Best in the World, where he and his Red Dragon tag team partner, Kyle O'Reilly, will face Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian at the event that's on pay-per-view, regular pay-per-view, cable satellite pay-per-view on a Sunday night pay-per-view. And I don't think there's any better place to be for a wrestling company than Sunday night pay-per-view. And I've got to wonder, there must be. Now, Justin Rosero, my producer. Justin, are you there?
I sure am.
Well, we got, of course, a big show coming up this week. I'm really excited about it. I want to ask about our great sponsor. And I want to know, you know, you generally check out all the pay-per-views there.
I do.
Is there going to be a Ring of Honor thing going on?
You know, I don't know. I can ask our buddy Matt Corona, one of the owners over at Bonehead's Wing Bar. That's our sponsor that you referenced there. And
yeah.
I'll see if he has any interest in getting it.
I think that would be a cool thing to do if he can, you know, and if it's one of these deals where it's not available on his cable system or whatever, that's cool too, you know, but, you know, supposedly it's going to be available everywhere. I have no idea. They don't clue me in on that stuff. You know, there's your chair. You either have a headset or you don't, and go. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Sometimes you got to always work on the fly, but, thanks, Justin. We'll talk later on. We got a lot of stuff to do tonight. You know, it gets harder and harder, I think, for me to be able to, follow television and follow television shows. This new world that we live in, to me, makes it much, much harder for wrestling companies to be successful. I would say that in many respects, the product that is delivered on television today is better than it ever has been. Now, there aren't bigger stars than there have been in the past, but the wrestling that you see today on television is really damn good. I mean, the athletes are incredible. And I saw Chris Sabin post something earlier this week on Twitter. He talked about the fact that there are so many good unsigned wrestlers right now. There are more good unsigned wrestlers, in his opinion, than there are signed wrestlers. There is such a wealth of talent that is out there. But the way the television landscape is set up now, I think it's very difficult for fans to be able to watch television. And I'm not talking about young fans. I'm not talking about old fans. I'm just talking about fans in general. There is more choice than ever before. There is more watching it on demand than ever before. and mass watching of a show is great, but wrestling isn't set up that way. Wrestling is set up to be episodic week to week, and it tapes 1 week at a time. And you have to reflect what's going on. When a company tapes a bunch of shows at once and then airs them, it's never really as good. You want to be either live or as close to live as you can be. And WWE has done a great job of doing that over the years, and no one else is even close to them in terms of anything having to do with production. They absolutely have it the best. But I think it makes it harder for wrestling companies to succeed and to get over and to introduce new, because everything is so fast. But I do think that wrestling companies can persevere and need to continue to use television as wrestling has always been presented on television. Think about this. When you watch a situation comedy, or when you watch a cop show, or when you watch a country, let's just say a country music awards show, okay? Specific genres, specific audiences. You could throw wrestling fan and professional wrestling television show in their own genre. Now there's going to be crossover. They're going to like MMA. They're going to like regular sports. They might like soap operas. They might like comedy. They might like but we're just talking about wrestling in general. Fans that like wrestling, that watch wrestling on television, they like wrestling programs that have a mix of talk and wrestling. The wrestling has to be good. It has to hook the audience to make them want to watch either within the episode or to the next one. And the talk has to make them want to go and buy tickets, even if they have no interest in going. That's what people like to see. People like to be talked into the building. When they watch professional wrestling on television now, I see all the comments. I read a lot of things on Twitter, and I see how people react to really good interviews. No one reacts to the long, boring interviews. But when there's a good interview that's on, people react because it's instinctual. Instinctive? It's instinctive. There's an instinct in each person, I believe, that reacts when they see something like this. It's almost innate. So many of us that are wrestling fans, and I know when we talked, and thanks again to Sean Grandy, who was outstanding a couple of weeks ago as our guest. His experience, my experience, maybe your experience, it seems like a lot of wrestling fans' experience is the same. Sean and I both grew up in New York. At least I started to. I moved to Florida when I was 9, almost 10 years old. We both grew up watching the same show. He's a few years younger than me, so it was probably at a different time. But Championship Wrestling was on at midnight on Channel 9. Right after Harness Racing, which I had forgotten, with Spencer Ross. That was great, man. What a time. Outstanding job by Grandy. Anyway, his experience, similar to mine, but slightly different. Millions of other fans all had similar but unique experiences. And now we all sit here at different age groups and different times with the same interest. But it's harder and harder to find that professional wrestling show that people like because everything is so segmented nowadays. So what is the right formula? What is the right button to push if you're a wrestling promoter, if you're a Vince McMahon, or if you're a Dixie Carter, or if you are the producers of Ring of Honor? What is the right formula? I think it's the roots. I think it's back to the tradition of professional wrestling. And I'm not talking about, you know, laying a hold for 40 minutes. I'm talking about good matches on television, but you save your money matches for the road. You have a touring schedule. You have a good mix of athletes. You bring people in and out. You turn the roster over, so it's a bunch of new faces all the time. I think the guaranteed contract is one thing that has really negatively affected professional wrestling. I want wrestlers to make as much money as they can. Don't get me wrong. But I also think that guaranteed money and longer-term contracts hamstring the promoter in such a way. Now, you got to do it to compete, but there's so many talented wrestlers out there, as Chris Sabin said. You could put everybody on a nightly, and you got to sing for your supper. If the house is there, it's great. If not, sorry. And that takes some conviction. So it can be done. It is being done. I think there's more good wrestling now, and fans are turning out more to independent shows than ever before. The numbers that I hear are amazing. You used to be lucky if you drew 200 or 300. Now, granted, there are still some shows that draw 30 people. 11 people, 9 people, people that have no business being in the wrestling business or promoting or not promoting. But anyway, there are some shows that regularly draw 1,000, 1,500, and not in huge markets either. So wrestling can be done the right way. You just have to seek those promotions out and then support them. I know the crowds with Ring of Honor have been up consistently. We have not had a down house in any of our return visits in this calendar year. So we're very thankful for that. So it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. It's a good time to be a wrestling announcer. It's a good time to be a podcast listener as well, because you're going to enjoy Bobby Fish later on here in the show. JR, let's talk about the topic of the day for a few minutes. We got some time?
We sure do, sir.
So the topic of the day, and it's twofold, because one, Daniel Bryan being stripped of the title and his injury, I think is the most newsworthy. But then again, you've also got the Shield breakup with the turn of Seth Rollins. And obviously, Daniel Bryan being stripped of the title. When you first heard this story, what did you think? Did you what was your gut reaction, and where do you think things stand now?
I was sad, because
that's a perfect emotion to feel. I think that's exactly right.
Very sad, because we watched this story unfold, and we had possibly the most organic, hottest wrestler since Steve Austin. I mean, maybe John Cena in 05, but probably since Steve Austin in 98. We haven't had a guy over like this in a long time. And an organic build, a build that felt right when he finally won at WrestleMania. And then we barely get weeks with him as champ. You know, he has the death in his family, so he misses a week. Then he has a quick feud with Kane, gets injured. And what makes me even sadder is that I'm really starting to fear that this might be it for him as a regular competitor. Like, now they're saying... Yeah,
you and I did not speak about this at all.
No, we don't talk from show to show.
So. I know, you just bug me for guests, and then that's it. But you exactly hit upon the two points that I was going to say. I felt sad for Daniel Bryan and for the fans, and I wondered if this is it as well. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Well, the news is scary. Like, they're saying it's not healing the way they thought, and he's losing strength in his right arm instead of regaining it after the surgery, which scares me. Necks are tricky, and I know everyone's trying to be optimistic, and they're like, well, Steve Austin came back, and you know, Edge came, and all these, but you never know. You just never know with necks, especially in the wrestling business. Can he, even if he does come back, can he work the style he's accustomed to? If he does, is he going to have a year and then blow out like Steve Austin did in 01, where he just said, F it, I'm going to go out there and give it my all and go crazy, and then you know he ended up busting his neck even worse, and he had to retire. It really worries me for a guy that's wrestled the style he has to have seen him wreck himself, you know, on the indie scene and trying to make it, and he finally makes it, and then this happens. And it's, even if he does come back, I don't know if they're going to have the same level of faith in him either. I mean, I think he'll still be a main event level guy, but are we looking at a Chris Benoit 05-ish where, sure, he could slip into main events and title feuds and had credibility, or even a modern-day Chris Jericho, but will he ever be the guy again? Will they ever trust him to be the man that they were going to finally give him the chance this year?
I think there's always that big risk. And one thing that I had said was, okay, what are Bryan's goals in all of this? What were Bryan's goals in going to the WWE? Did he plan on making as much money as possible for as long as he possibly could? And when that time was up, then he would be done. Or was he going to continue to compete for the love just on a much bigger scale? And that might be the question. If he's in this for the long haul, then we'll see him. We'll see him back. But if he's made his money and he's ready to go, and this might be his time, hey, listen, I've got a bad neck. I tried to come back. I couldn't come back the way I wanted to. Maybe it's time that I step away.
You wonder how much it's like Edge a few years ago, where it was just the risk was too high for what
right.
The payoff.
I think Brian's 34. If memory serves me correctly, because I remember when I met him and Spanky their first day in Memphis, and I asked them what year they were born, just because I wanted to feel old, and I thought they both had said 1980. So that would put them in that 30, you know, put him in that 33, 34 range.
Right.
So he still has a lot of time. But again, you look at neck injuries, I think of Stone Cold first, then I think of Edge, then I think of Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think of Daniel Bryan. And I know there were a lot more because, man, it was running rampant for a while. Everybody was having that fusion surgery. Then it became, well, let's go in and just do the quick fix instead of fusing everything together. And a lot of guys had that surgery. I think that's the one that Kurt Angle had. So I don't know. And maybe Kurt would be the one to talk to. You know, maybe we could try to get Kurt Angle on this show.
Yeah, let's do it. Well, I mean, the other one will have to do it. I'm not going to be able to. Dan O'Brien was born May 22nd, 1981.
81. Okay. So he just turned 33. So, yeah, he's got time. There's no doubt about that. And yes, I did feel old because when I met those two, I was like, these damn kids. God, they're barely, he was 20 years old. He just turned 20 or he was 21. So crazy time. And the Shield. I think they've set up Seth Rollins for good success. I like the positioning. I like everything that they did with it.
You thought they picked the right guy to turn?
I did. Because he was probably the least expected guy.
Well, that, and I think he needed the most
help.
And not that he can't go in the ring. He's phenomenal in the ring. But he needed the most help as far as look / promo work for a guy that wants to make it in WWE. So, you know, Reigns has the body. They're going to push him no matter what. Ambrose has the mic skills, which I don't know if you saw Monday Night's promo. It was fantastic.
Haven't watched it yet.
And the guys, I think Ambrose is going to be a stud, and I don't think he needs the crutch of being the heel with Triple H. I thought of the three of them, Rollins is the guy that really needed the most help from Triple H. I think, you know, the dream scenario for fans would be Rollins becoming kind of the interim champion. Maybe he wins at Money in the Bank and then feuds with Daniel Bryan, who's completely healthy and returns. Like, that would be a money feud for the world title for a lot of fans.
Well, that would be good. They'd have to pick somebody to like, though. So, I don't know where that sets you up.
Bryan versus Rollins? I think the fans would like.
Oh, Bryan. Rollins as the inner. I was thinking Reigns. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Rollins. So you have Rollins. Triple H puts him in the Money in the Bank. He wins the ladder match, becomes a champion. And now you're trying to get people. You know, maybe Bryan's not ready for SummerSlam, but you're trying to get people to buy the network maybe for that September pay per view when the 6 month thing is up. I'll tell you, Daniel Bryan versus Seth Rollins is quite the selling point for a lot of fans, I think.
I think a lot of people would expect Daniel Bryan to win, so that would be that's sometimes a good thing.
Right.
You know, sometimes the match that is made is okay. You know, everybody was like, oh, when Floyd Mayweather fought last time, oh, he's fighting a good, you know, the guy's fighting's good, but when's he ever going to fight Pacquiao? And the fight wound up being great, and it did big business. So, and who did he fight? Maldonado, was that the guy's name? I think that was who the fighter was. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not good at boxing.
But, yeah, I know. I heard McGinn beat you up once.
No.
But who would win in a fight with you and McGinn?
McGinn would not stand a chance.
Really?
He's too soft.
He's not here to defend himself.
Oh, he's soft.
All right. Well, again, that's another time. Maybe we could do that one night at... who's our sponsor there?
Boneheads Wing Bar.
Oh, man. Imagine this. The boxing
Boxy
challenge.
Boxing.
with JR versus Dan McGinn. Big poofy gloves, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to see either of you really get hurt. That would be a lot of fun there at Boneheads. And I do want to, because we'll talk about Ring of Honor later, because we got what's his face? Dan McGinn.
Your guest?
Bobby
Fish?
I'm reading McGinn's note. Okay. Bobby Fish is going to be on a little bit later, so we're going to talk about Ring of Honor later on. But you know, I've got a sponsor now as well. You know, you've got Boneheads, right?
Yeah.
Their wings are outstanding. It's a great bar.
Awesome. The nachos are to die for.
Yeah, the pictures that I have seen makes me want to eat there. The food looks that good.
It's so good.
Well, as I had mentioned back when we had launched this and we talked about, you know, the whole idea of Finish Strong, one of my buddies, when we lost our jobs at Staples, he decided that he was going to open up a restaurant, a macaroni and cheese specialty restaurant. That's all he sells, mac and cheese. And it's in a farmer's market in Middletown, PA. It's called Saturday's Market. It's very famous. It is open now. It's been open a few weeks. It took a little longer than expected because he got a bigger space than he expected to get and had to do some deconstruction, then construction work, and now it's up and running. I went there this Saturday. It's awesome. I've never had mac and cheese outside of home. You know, my wife makes a really nice homemade mac and cheese. And this isn't the stuff in the box either. This is like the homemade stuff with the melted cheddar and the whole deal. My buddy Brady has this thing hooked up. And Main Street Mac at Saturday's Market in Middletown, PA is the place you have to go every Saturday for mac and cheese. On the menu this weekend, he had breakfast mac and cheese with egg, sausage, bacon.
Nice.
Then he had three different kinds for lunch. He had bacon that would be folded into your mac and cheese, cheese steak mac and cheese, and hot dog mac and cheese for the kids, which was flying like crazy because everybody had their kids out. So congratulations to my buddy Brady and his girlfriend Libby and what they're doing there at Main Street Mac at Saturday's Market. I told him I would give him a big plug this week, and there you go. So they're going to be like our unofficial mascot
I like it.
Kind of sponsor. You know, we'll follow their progress along.
And, now, is the farmer's market?
If they're having a going out of business sale, I'll let you know, and we'll score some cheap mac and cheese.
Sounds good. Now, the farmer's market, Kev, and I don't think they'll go out of business. Sounds like a tremendous product. Is it where all the farmers stand around with their wares? I picture it kind of like a strip club. So, like, you know, you walk in and the women kind of come up to you and they try and, you know, get you to go backstage with them. And, you know, I'm picturing that. You're walking through, this guy's trying to sell you his corn, another guy with the watermelon. That's how I kind of picture it.
Next up on the stage, Elsie.
Yes.
No, it's
next
not like
that
at all.
Next up is Warren with his kale.
It's not like that at all. It's an open air. There's an outside part, and then there's inside where it's like a flea market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there are a lot of little shops that are set up here, and a lot of it is it's not you know, it's a little ghetto. All right, it's not in the ghetto, but it's a little bit rednecky, and but it's kind of cool, you know, because there's like you could go and. They've got the guy selling the swords and the knives and all that stuff. And then there's the dude selling, you know, like the e-cigarettes and all, you know, it smells like patchouli oil. And he's got all that, you know, dope posters. Then, you know, there's a vintage record store. And then there's a guy selling gyros and other Greek food.
Is Michael Cole in the vintage record store?
Vintage. He should if he was smart. You know, and they got the Oriental guy selling like the, you know, the socks and the knockoff purses and those types of things. So it's
Ron Trongard, the Orientals. Who's the guy? Who's the AWA commentator? Not Ron Trongard. Yeah, what's
Trongard was him. Yeah.
He said, "Oh, we have the Oriental six man championships on the line in this match.
See, the Japanese have attacked Ric Flair." I love that when JR said that.
So my question with the farmer's market was just because I assume when you walk in, they all just don't bother. You know, like when they see a guy they know is not going to pay up at the strippers just kind of avoid him because they know that he's not going to pay. So they see you come in, they're like, "Ah, this guy's not buying. He's not buying no vegetables." And they just
I always thought that was kind of like they smell a mark. You know,
yeah,
they know when the mark is coming in with his money and
the mac and cheese mark.
I ran right back to Brady's stand. I was like, "Where is it? Okay, there it is. Here you go. Take my money." It was great. I'm happy for him because that whole little market is kind of turned around too because he had told me where he was building it. And I remembered a few years ago having been there like a couple times. And I was like, "Ooh, that's kind of in the dead part of town," but walked in now and businesses started to come back. So that whole end is full again and good for him. And there was a lot of traffic and it's neat. So yeah, they got all kinds of cool stuff there. They got like Amish bakeries and butchers and all kinds of stuff. So you can get everything that you need for the week, you know, including I bought socks too. Very
butchers,
excited.
Sharks, Taskmasters, Zodiacs.
Yeah, they were all there.
The whole Dungeon of Doom was there.
It was very nice. Had a good time. My favorite era of Kevin Sullivan, not quite the Dungeon of Doom, although I did enjoy that. It was Sullivan's Slaughterhouse, the short-term thing that he had with Buzz Sawyer and mm-hmm. Cactus Jack. That was my favorite, Sullivan's Slaughterhouse. I love that the best. So when he did that one interview and he talked about, and they edited it from television, how Buzz Sawyer was born. It's not the dog's fault, you know. And the nomad dropped in the desert and left the baby there to wither and die. And then the she-wolf came and gave him the breath of life. And that was how Buzz Sawyer was raised, apparently by wolves.
Was it better than the Kevin Sullivan one where he smacks Luna Vachon across the face?
That was that was heavy. That was very, very heavy back in that day. Having grown up in Florida and come through that whole Prince of Darkness era, some of that stuff was a little bit tough. Wasn't my favorite thing. A little scared. Not going to lie. All right. We've got our good pal, our longtime friend, Bobby Fish, one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions. He's going to be our guest in just a few minutes. We'll get him on the line. And right now, JR is going to tell us where you can find the Kevin Kelly Show.
You can find The Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways: by visiting placemenation.com, clicking the Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side, by subscribing to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes. You can also visit stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at @place2bnation or at @realkevinkelly, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, email us at kevinkellyshow@placetobenation.com or tweet up at us using #AskKevin with the KK capitalized.
Our pal Bobby Fish joins us here in a few moments. We'll be chatting away with him as the Kevin Kelly Show continues. Is Red Dragon the best tag team in the world? We'll find out in a few minutes when Bobby Fish joins us right here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation.
I am Justin Rosero. This is your Wrestling News Flash, brought to you exclusively by WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. After completing several medical tests, Ric Flair is set to return to the on-air role in the WWE, maybe brought back to WWE TV at next week's show from Cleveland alongside the returning Miz. Flair recently was seen on NXT TakeOver, the corner of his daughter, Charlotte, where she captured the NXT Women's Championship. Word coming out of Raw is that both Bray Wyatt and John Cena will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match that's now for the WWE World Heavyweight title at this month's pay-per-view. Both men have been feuding since January, with Cena scoring the most recent victory in the Last Man Standing match at Payback. Speaking of Money in the Bank, WWE is considering adding a second ladder match to its card, with the prize being a Money in the Bank briefcase. The second bout will feature up-and-coming talents, while the top superstars will be in the main ladder match for the vacated title. TMZ Sports reporting UFC fighter Filthy Tom Lawler has been negotiating a deal with Ring of Honor following his appearance at one of their shows last month, and right now the deal calls for him to manage Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, known collectively as Red Dragon. However, he could work in the ring from time to time as well. Lawler has UFC's permission to work for the promotion during his downtime. He's expected to appear at ROH's Best of the World pay-per-view later this month. Once again, visit our good friends at WrestleChat.net each and every day for the latest news, in-depth features, and the Still Real to Us podcast. More on The Kevin Kelly Show, including a visit from Red Dragon's Bobby Fish, after this break.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
back now on the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. And we welcome in at this time our good pal. He's one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, half of Red Dragon, and quite the wordsmith as well. Don't tell Steve Corino. Bobby Fish, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, let me ask you a question. How did you, you got signed by Ring of Honor after attending the tryout camp? Where had you, where had you been all of our lives? Cause you, you're awesome, right? And I'd always known of your work in Japan, but how is it that you were only competing over in Japan on pretty much a full-time basis? How did that go for you? How did that work?
I just think that Japan happened to be the biggest break that came to me the earliest. I think 06, so I mean I was maybe like 5 years into the business, and it just happened to be the one that came first. And I think if you polled any group of wrestlers and asked them what their goals were, that one of them would probably be Japan. And you know, you never know when your opportunities are going to come in this business. And like I said, my opportunity over there just happened to come earlier than what I'd even expected, to be honest.
Well, you certainly made the most of it. How many tours have you made over to Japan?
I don't know, maybe 30, 20 something, maybe high 20.
And that's
everything
that was pretty much
Noah,
on.
Yeah.
And that was on a consistent basis. So say 3 or 4 times a year. Is that pretty much how the math worked out?
Yeah, it started out slow. You know, your first year or two over there, you know, they're still trying to feel you out a little bit and then see how the fans are going to respond to you. Which is kind of a catch 22 at times because, especially over there, like they need to be familiar. You know, the more familiar they become with you, the better chance you have of getting over. So it's kind of hard at times for one hand to wash the other. But you know, if you do the right things, it seems like things will generally work out. I mean, I saw numerous times guys come over, you know, one tour, one and done. That was it. You know, for various reasons.
There was some good one time. Sometime we'll have to get you on and maybe do like you, me and Carino, and I'll just sort of like moderate and I'll let you guys just tell stories about some of the characters that came over there. And, you know, from the what was Leon Spinks over there? Was somebody like some famous boxer? What happened? There was a couple of real characters.
There's always. There's always something going on over there. You never know who you're going to cross paths with in the airport. And you know what I mean? The way that Bob Sapp at one point, you know, had kind of taken Japan by storm. And there's such a tradition of combat sports over there. And, you know, for lack of a better term, such a blurry line at times, that, you know, it's almost like the Wild Wild West at times.
Well, I know that, as your career now has transitioned back much more full-time in the States, and we're coming off, and congratulations, now 3-time World Tag Team Champions, beating the Young Bucks. That match was, in many estimations, as close to perfect as you can get. From somebody who was a part of it, what did you think going in, and how did you feel afterward?
I felt like going in, that we were the best tag team in the world. And at this point, I feel like we have reached a level where we're in that zone. I hate to even say zone because it's so cliche in sports at this point, but I will argue that point to anyone. A lot of times you've heard similar things said about the Young Bucks, so I knew that going into New York, I was 100% confident that what between them and us, that there was no way that we weren't going to deliver. But I was also 100% confident that at the end, we would walk away being exactly what we said we were and exactly what I believe us to be right now at this moment, and that is the best tag team in wrestling.
It's very easy, I would imagine, to kind of get lost in all of the bluster that is the Young Bucks, from the showy costumes to their outrageous antics and the things that they say and do, to where it's like you can be a part of an outstanding, a tremendous Young Bucks match, and all the people are going to remember, wow, the Young Bucks and that super kick party, that was so amazing. I loved every second of it. But I think in this match that we saw in New York, it was, damn, Red Dragon is every bit as good as the Young Bucks. And if we ever slighted Red Dragon in any way, man, we apologize, because those guys are freaking awesome. So you really have to step up and show, because they're like the consummate showman. It makes your job, I think, even harder.
I hear exactly where you're coming from with that. I think that we still hit the ring, as accomplished as we are at this point. Kyle and I hit that ring of something to prove every single time out. And it just, I don't know if it'll always be that way, but that's certainly the case right now. And I still feel like there's more left to prove. There's more left to do. There's definitely, God knows how many chapters left for Kyle and I to write.
There's so much as we've started to delve into, because both you and Kyle are so smart, and I enjoy talking to both of you. And what we've seen with the Fish Tank has been, you know, that sports entertainment side that we don't get to see a lot of in Ring of Honor. What are your thoughts been about doing that? And, you know, has it been up to your expectations? Because, again, the thing is named after you, Bobby. So, you know, you kind of got some stake in it, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I've been really happy with the opportunity to put that on display. I think that's a part of this business that makes this business unique. It's something that if you talk to fans worldwide, that they bring up, I can't tell you. Well, I mean, you know, how many times is it that you're talking to somebody who's mentioning their childhood memories of pro wrestling? You know, they don't really watch anymore, but God, I remember on Piper's Pit one time. I can't mm-hmm. tell you how many times I've heard, you know, that in the confines of a conversation. You know, that's the starter. So to be able to do something that is in a similar vein, I think is an incredible vehicle for the two of us. But it also, I think it adds something to Ring of Honor. It adds something to our product. And I really relish the opportunity to let people know that there's more to what we do than just what we do in the ring.
And again, if you can't judge a book by its cover, I think by many athletes today, and we say this all the time with professional wrestlers now, is that the business has evolved so much and the athletes have evolved so much. And you look at what you bring and what Kyle brings and all the different backgrounds that you guys have. You're damn funny. You got a good sense of humor and you're really smart too. So we can see everything now in professional wrestling. I was talking about that earlier on, you know, that fans need that connection. And we all share, we grew up in different areas, but if you grew up a wrestling fan, there is that commonality. And like you said, Piper's Pit, those talking segments, many times that's the linchpin that bridged all of the wrestling segments. And that was what people remembered the most. So, you know, for all the bumps and bruises you put yourself through, man, I think we finally got it figured out.
you're 100% right. And it really is the word that sticks out to me there is connection.
Mm-hmm.
That connection and the guys that make real money in this business, the guys that are remembered forever and a day, the guys who are, you know, the guy, that's what they have. That's the common thread. There's a connection of some kind. And that's in the ring. That's, you know, walking into the building. That's doing an interview segment. That's you know, a talking piece like Piper's Pit. It's present through all of those things.
let me and of course Bobby, as we saw at War of the Worlds with a match with the Young Bucks, became the tag team champions for the third time. Tom Lawler was in your corner, and a great, I think, link between the UFC fan and the wrestling fan. Are we going to see more with you guys with Tom Lawler, you know, either in your corner, or I know he's got a wrestling background. So is that something that we could see down the road, or is he going to, you know, pretty much stick with fighting and that's it?
I think we are only scratching the surface. I know that since New York, Tom Lawler, Kyle and I have all been in constant contact, whether it be email or text messages here and there. Ideas have been exchanged. Discussions. What we found in New York was that he's that we're all pretty like-minded, and what we found in his ability to go out and in front of our audience was that he fits right in. And Tom gets us. There was a couple of Twitter threads that went on last weekend, and I won't get into the details, to be honest. I don't recall exactly what they were, but there were a couple of retorts that Tom had that made me, you know, it just crystallized right before my eyes that he just gets us. He gets us. I looked at certain things that he had to say, and I was like, man, that is something I would expect to hear from Kyle or would hope to put out there myself. And so it was perfect. And I think there's definitely more to come with that.
When you were a kid growing up, Bobby, did you dream of being a professional wrestler? Was this what you always wanted to be?
I don't think so. I think it had always, I had always been a fan, and I was always, I don't know, maybe not necessarily mesmerized, but there were points where, you know, I would play football, you know, things that kids do. And that was actually my first, love. I wanted to be a football player. But I think I discovered pro wrestling before I did, football. And then there was maybe like a little exchange as I got older. And then, but pro wrestling was just always there. It never really left. And in high school and even in college, I think there was it was done more jokingly, that there were friends that were like, oh, yeah, I could see you doing that. And I don't know, Kevin, to be honest, if I ever at that point seriously considered it. And then right around when I was finishing college, and it was like, okay, well, what am I going to do? And I was still trying to play football, but I was pretty sure at that point that the NFL was not going to happen for me. And I don't know. I was working for a marketing company, and we were on the road. I was in Harlingen, Texas, and I found the Dynamite Kid's biography. Now, I had been a fan of the Dynamite Kid, you know, when I was young myself, and you know, was the biggest fan. And then he just disappeared, like after his WWE run. I mean, now everybody's heard the story. I mean, we know where he was, and that he was wrestling other places, blah blah blah. But to me, as a kid, without the internet and all that stuff, remember those days?
Yeah. hard to believe.
I just never knew, you know, well, what the hell happened to him? So I see this book on the shelf, and I'm like, man, I need to find out what the hell happened to this guy. And I started reading that book. I think I finished it within a few days. And that was the first time that I gave real consideration to, hey, how do I get trained to do this? Like, what do I do? What are the steps? I think that's when I first really considered it.
And then from there, the first time I had heard of your name was from Brutal Bob Evans, who had met you at a Harley race camp, or had known you previously, but when he attended this Harley race camp, who else was there? Oh, Bobby Fish was there. And I was like, I know that name. I've heard his name before. It's so unique. Is that how the journey began, or was there a step or two before getting to Harley's?
No, there was a step or two before Harley's. I was actually out in California at the time and looked into trying to get trained there. Moved back home when my dad got sick, moved back to New York, and happened to find somebody by the name of Tony DeVito who had worked for ECW. He was living an hour and a half south of me and said, yeah, I have a ring if, you know, if you're interested, you know, the normal... the normal thing there. And
sure.
So I said, yeah, of course. So I went down, I started training with him and a couple other guys that he was training at the time. So it wasn't necessarily a school, but it was, you know, it was Tony doesn't get the credit he deserves, to be honest, for his ability. And as far as a trainer, I mean, I there was really very few things that he left out. So I feel like I was pretty well prepared from there and started working indies and stuff like that. And then that's when that brings us to about the time you're talking about with Bob. Somewhere within that couple of years was when I went to a Harley camp. I don't believe Bob was at that first one that I went to. Because what happened was once I started working for Noah, because I got my connection to Japan was through Harley. Noah was at that camp.
Right.
What they were offering to people was to come over and stay in the dojo for 3 months. So that's what I thought I was there for. You know, there was WWE people there and whatnot too, but I really wanted to get to Japan. But I didn't know. You know, you go there and you do your thing and you see what happens. So when Harley called me a few weeks later, a month later, whatever, to say that Noah was interested, I assumed, okay, I'm going over for 3 months. That's what I was preparing for. I was going to stay in the dojo. I didn't know how much actual wrestling I would do on shows, but when I received my flight itinerary, I thought, man, there's got to be a mistake because this is 3 weeks, not 3 months. So I thought maybe there was either a mistake or that I did something wrong. So I contacted Harley, and Harley said, no, they actually want you to just come over and start wrestling. They're not bringing you to the dojo. They're bringing you over to work a tour, you know, do the best you can, shut your mouth, open your ears, you know, all that good stuff. And then fortunately for me, the tour went well and more tours followed. And then it was probably sometime around there that Bob would have met me at a camp because Noah brought me back a couple times to the camps to help with, and believe me, my Japanese is far from fluent, but having been over there, there's kind of a mashup of English and Japanese and wrestling lingo that if you've been there, I'm sure Carino could actually speak on this too. I think Chris Jericho's called it Japanglish. And so once you're somewhat fluent in Japanglish, I guess I became useful at some of these camps, and that's where that's probably I'm positive that's what Bob was talking about.
I wanted to talk with Okada for a few minutes after the New York show because I've become such a fan of his and so I had Rocky Romero with me and knowing that you know Okada's English is limited, I was like, you know, Rocky, help me kind of translate it. I just want to tell him how much a fan I am of his and I really liked his work and I look forward to seeing him again. And Rocky just basically said, Kevin just wanted to say that he's a big fan. He really enjoyed your work, and he looks forward to seeing you again. I'm like,
plain English.
Thanks a lot. So, and Okada understood every word. We shook hands, and that was it. So, my Japanglish is better than I thought. You know,
exactly. I've never quite figured it out. As I've been going over this since 2006. And then obviously have been around the Japanese pro wrestling community that's come over here. And still to this day, I can't figure out what the deal is with how much English they understand and how much they don't. I hate to even reference them as they, you know, but just the Japanese pro wrestling community in general. I don't know. I don't know what they... it appears to me that they understand Japanese pro wrestlers typically understand more than they let you know they understand.
Right.
And maybe that's an intelligent way of approaching things. Maybe as Americans, we just, you know, we don't know when to bite our tongue.
Well, again, you got some good advice from Harley, and it certainly paid off because all those tours then led to the opportunity, you know, hey, the tryout camp is here, and you made the decision to attend, and now you're part of Ring of Honor and part of that conversation. You mentioned earlier, you know, best tag team in the world. We're right around best in the world, of course, Sunday, June 22nd on pay-per-view. And it's you guys, it's Red Dragon against Daniels and Kazarian. I'm going to be very interested to see what happens on that night.
I don't think you're alone. I'll be interested to see what happens that night. Obviously, I have a vested interest in what happens that night. I have quite a bit of influence as to what happens that night. I think it certainly presents us with another opportunity on a large stage, because given the track record of Danielson and Kazarian and where they've been, and as long as they've been doing it as well as they've been doing it, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this. I really hope to avoid getting cliche here, but when the lights are brightest, I think Kyle and I continue to go out. War of the Worlds is just an example of that. That you know, I think we perform better when the pressure's on. I think when it's we're certainly gamers. We're not guys that don't put in the practice time, but we're guys that not only put in the training and the practice time, but then we deliver each and every time out. And I think Nashville just gives us another opportunity to prove to anybody who doubts the fact that if you're going to talk about best tag team, anything, we have to be in that conversation, you know. And I, as I said before, wholeheartedly believe it when I say myself that we are the best. But anybody who doubts it, you know, Nashville will be another opportunity for us to show them exactly what it is that we believe.
Amen to that. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I want to just thank you for your time. We've got, you know, a lot more conversation to have in episodes down the road. And I'd love to get you and Carino together and tell some good stories about your multiple tours of Japan and everywhere that you've been and all the good things you've seen. I'll see you. I'll see you in a few weeks in Nashville, and continued success, Bobby. I'm really happy for everything that you've accomplished, and I look forward to seeing how far you and Kyle can go. I think the sky's the absolute limit for you.
Well, thank you very much, Kevin. Kind words. I do appreciate them. I would love to sit down and speak with you at another time with Steve Carino, without Steve Carino. I mean, I don't pass up on the opportunity to chit chat with you, Kevin. So
you know, and again,
you're ready, you just let me know.
I told everybody, you know, again, I said, you know, he's quite the wordsmith, because the few occasions that we've had to do commentary together, I've really enjoyed it. Whenever I bring that up on the air, it really ruffles Carino's feathers. He's a little protective of his seat. But if you go back, fans, and you watch the, I can't remember the title of the event, but the main event was Eddie Edwards challenging Jay Briscoe for the world title. And Bobby, you and I called that match. I think that was the best match of Jay's reign. And yeah. I was really happy with the commentary, the story that we were able to tell during that match, because I felt like it really enhanced the action and the nice garnish on the plate. And we did our job that night. So thank you again for that.
No, thank you, Kevin, for having me there at that seat next to you. And any time in the future, you let me know, I'd be happy to sit there again.
All right, so Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, they're heading to Best in the World Sunday, June 22nd on pay-per-view, and we'll see Bobby Fish there. Well, I really enjoyed that conversation with Bobby Fish. I have a great deal of respect for him and for Kyle. And just to see, he's just a pro. He's a pro's pro, and it's just again, that interview, I think you could just hear the confidence in him, and he is a professional. So, you know, again, thank you, Bobby, for joining us. And Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, part of Best in the World on pay-per-view on Sunday, June 22nd. Call your cable operator, your satellite provider, and find out how to order, or just go ahead and order now and get it done with, and then order again. It's like Chicago voting. Vote early and often. So it's time for, this is my, as much as I love interviews, my favorite part of the show is actually our next segment, and that is trending stories. What stories are trending this week, JR? What is first? Because this is my favorite part of the show.
It really is. You get very excited. And Kev, you know, I can't let our discussion from earlier get by about the farmer's market and the comparisons without giving a shout out to Este. That's all I'm going to say. All right, you ready for story number one?
I'm ready. Oh, God.
Australian researchers are hunting for what they call a mystery sea monster that has devoured a 9-foot-long great white shark. They did not clarify if it only cost $5. A tracking device previously planted on the shark was found washed up on a beach, and after analysis, it showed that it had suddenly undergone a rapid increase in temperature and a swift 1,900-foot dive beneath the waves. Scientists attribute the more than 30-degree spike in temperature to the shark entering another animal's digestive system, and the unexpected plunge can be explained by a larger animal's rapid descent. Researchers found the tracking device 2.5 miles from where the shark was tagged. This perplexing situation, which occurred 4 months after researchers tagged the shark, is chronicled in the Smithsonian Institution's documentary film Hunt for the Super Predator.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Is there anything scarier to you, Kevin, than this story right here?
I had to make sure I heard you say it correctly, because when you said it exactly right, but in my mind, I heard 9-foot great white shark, 8 mystery sea creature. But that's not what you said. You said something much bigger, ate a 9-foot shark, and not just ate it, but apparently maybe swallowed it whole.
Yes, devoured it.
Devoured it. And then dove 1,900 feet. Rapidly. Correct?
Correct, sir.
Gee. That's where, Australia?
Yeah, no, I have to ask you. You weren't recently vacationing in Australia, are you? I heard sea monster. I heard, eating sharks.
You're a funny guy. Hmm. No, I'll show you my passport. It has no stamps.
Outback Jack's still around?
When I heard the shark music, I was like, wait a minute.
John Tenta's back.
John Tenta. He's back from the dead.
Poor John Tenta. What did you think of John Tenta?
What a nice man.
Yeah.
What a nice man. I met him when he was doing his run there with the Oddities. What an absolute great prince of a guy. Just a super dude.
And really underrated in the ring, too, I think, by many. Yeah, he's a really good wrestler.
Very much was. And, had a great career and did some very memorable characters that I think, you know, stand the test of time. And
who's your favorite Tenta character?
Well, I really liked him in Typhoon as the natural disasters. So Earthquake. But again, I mean, Golga with the bumps on his head. How do you go wrong with that? I never understood what the deal was with the bumps.
Yeah, that was weird. I guess he was supposed to have a deformed head. Was that what it was?
Yeah, they were the Oddities. So that originally was supposed to be the Howard Stern,
right?
You know, ripoff, because that's what Vince Russo knows. And they didn't continue with that. They brought their own Oddities in. So yeah,
they had Hank on there, and they had
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Stuttering John. No, what's that? Stuttering? Was it Stuttering John?
The only two I remember were Fred the Elephant Boy and Beetlejuice. Oh, no, Hank the Angry Drunken Dwarf.
Yeah, Hank was on Raw.
Hank's dead.
Beetlejuice wasn't on Raw, though. That was Hank and Stutter. Who's the Stutter guy? You're the Howard Stern fan. You don't know.
The only three that I remember, Fred, Hank, and Beetle. That's all I remember. And then there was that woman with those extremely large bazooms. Do you remember that? She wasn't from Howard Stern. I don't know what she was, a stripper, I don't know what she was, but she had giant cans.
Well, there was a the Whack Pack was actually huge. There was like 50 of them.
Yeah, they were great. Very interesting.
Crackhead Bob, not stuttering. Crackhead Bob, he was on.
Oh, Crackhead Bob was there.
Yeah, it was Crackhead Bob and Hank. Those are the two that came on and did commentary for that night with the Jackal.
Commentary, that's great. See,
well, good to have you there, Crackhead Bob.
Is it Crackhead, Mr. Crackhead?
Maybe he'll be on the next Jim Ross show to listen to JR bitch about everything.
Does he bitch about everything?
That's what my sources. I don't listen. I only listen to shows if they're on PlayStation.com. But from what I'm told, I see a lot of comments about. He's like the anti Kevin Kelly. You know, everything here is positive and happy, and over there is very, very downtrodden.
Well, I was like that for a long time.
Yeah, but I'm not here though. We turned that around quickly.
We. What are we, French?
What?
Okay, if you would like to say you'd take credit for that turnaround, then that's
no,
cool.
I think I aided it. Yeah, I do. You were a rotten SOB when we first got together.
That's not true at all. I wondered if you guys liked me after that interview I did with you the first time I was on your show. I didn't know how to feel. I was conflicted.
Very conflicted.
I thought Scott liked me. I wasn't sure. And I wasn't sure if you guys like hated the interview so much that I was like, oh my gosh, this is not going well. I must be bombing. Apparently it was okay.
You're fantastic, and now we're best friends. See, so Dan McGinn tells me JR always bitches about too many high spots in Ring of Honor. That he complains about the lighting situation, and is very just negative in general about his time wrestling, it seems like. And I've also heard when he had like Lita on, he was more interested in asking about her live sex celebrations and being kind of a lech. Leech. I guess it's lech, right?
Lecherous. No, lech. Yes, lecherous. That's not good. That's not good at all. When he and I spoke in Toronto, there was a little bit of that came through, but he seemed to be very positive about what he was doing in his career and his thing. So that was good.
He thinks he has to make a gimmick. I don't know.
I think that if you go on and everything is sunshine and lollipops, that might get a little stale.
Well,
I don't know.
Have to be that. I mean, you can have a happy medium. I'm just saying, from what I've heard, it's not that. I've heard it's not as well produced as some shows as well.
And that blows me away because apparently they've got all these big sponsors and
right.
They get all these downloads.
Yeah.
I don't understand the business. I don't understand anything. But, you know, hey, Ring of Honor does need to slow down. They do need lights. It's like, you know, sometimes it's hard to announce, and I'm sitting at ringside. they better get their act together in terms of production because pay-per-view is right around the corner. You only get one chance, Ring of Honor. I'm just saying. So hopefully it'll be good. Fingers crossed. Hey, are there more trending stories? I heard there's a rumor there's four this week. I'm very happy about this.
A measles outbreak in Minnesota offers a case study of how the disease is transmitted in the U.S. today. Get this, Kevin. An unvaccinated person traveled abroad and brought measles back and infected vulnerable people, including children who are unprotected, because their parents chose not to vaccinate them. That's the conclusion of a report published on the June 9th Pediatrics that details a 2011 outbreak that sickened 19 children and two adults. It began when an unvaccinated two-year-old was taken to Kenya. Makes a lot of sense. He contracted the measles virus, brought it back to the U.S., and things went from there. Kevin Kelly, give me your take on vaccinations.
I'm gonna spell it out like this. I think vaccinations are a work. I think it's fake. I don't buy it. I don't believe it.
Wow.
I don't believe it at all. I think it's a scam.
I don't know.
Complete scam. Do you have your daughter vaccinated?
She's well vaccinated.
You know why? You have to. Because if you don't, you can't put them in school.
Well, I think I did because of all the idiots said don't. You know, and then it gets passed around a lot easier.
How is it that you take a two-year-old to Kenya?
Yeah, that's even dumber. I mean, this caps it off. I mean, they should have probably visited the sea monster and prevented this outbreak in Minnesota.
Yeah, let's go to the zoo and everything will be fine. No one will be the wiser that you haven't been vaccinated.
Let's go over to Europe on this ship and bring a bunch of rats back.
Yeah, right. And then we're going to have the bubonic plague because it wasn't the rats, but it was the fleas on the rats that brought it over. So there you go. I don't know. No, I'm kind of conflicted about the vaccines because I think that I think we're over medicated. We're over vaccinated. I think there are vaccines that are healthy, but I never get the flu shot and I never get sick. I have never had the flu in my life and I've never had the flu shot once.
But it only takes you getting it once and you're going to change your mind. Happened to my friend at work. He never got it. Sounded the same arrogance that you're spewing right now. And this year he got a brutal bout and he said now he would get it.
I think that the body's natural immune system is a wonderful thing.
So many jokes, but go ahead.
It's true. If you take care of yourself, right, you can ward off all of these things.
And are you included in this?
Well, sure.
Okay.
Because I don't get sick. But just because I'm fat doesn't mean that I don't take, do all the things that I should do. You know what's another thing? And Dan, I know you're listening right now, helping produce the show. You could bring this up with Carino on his show. He and I share our belief that hand sanitizers are a bunch of crap. That's part of the reason why people get so sick nowadays.
Well, I don't disagree with the theory that you need to be exposed to illness to fight it off. Right. I just think children of that age need to be vaccinated against these diseases that can really cause serious issue.
But then who are they infecting? So the child goes to Kenya, picks up the measles and brings it back.
Right.
Who gets the measles? Fellow unvaccinated children?
Right. Yeah, that's what it said.
Well, then there you go.
Wipe them all out. Is that what you're saying?
Survival of the fittest. Taking a 2-year-old to Kenya. Imagine being on that flight.
I didn't want my 2-year-old was down here while we're trying to record a podcast and it was chaos was ensuing. I can't imagine going to Kenya.
It's 19 hours.
I couldn't get through a half hour of the show without her pulling wires out of the TV.
That's great. That's great. All right. So
the one time she doesn't want to sit with the iPad. Normally you get to rip this thing out of her hands and it's a fight. The one time I said, you know what? You can hang out with me. You can watch Mickey Mouse and do what you want. I'm not going to bother you. And she gets bored after like 20 minutes and then comes over here and starts getting involved in the show, you know?
Would you let her date the young Beck Carino?
Yes. I thought you were going to ask the Dan McGinn, and that would be no.
Well, no, there's too much of an age difference. But Beck Carino is in day 196 of his life.
Yeah.
So
I'd do a lot to get into the Carino gene pool. That'd be fantastic.
Really? You think so?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of, I don't know about that. I could see good debate, though, amongst the dads. That'd be fun. That would be an interesting, our kids are dating now, so what?
Man,
I could see you both, because you got a daughter. It's a different story.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's not going to date, right, at all. So we're working in real hypotheticals that maybe she would be dating at some point. But in my mind, she'll never date.
Yeah,
she'll never go to the mall. Unless I'm with her until she's 21. You ever seen what's at the mall nowadays? It's a shit show.
It's bad. I know when back in my day, the mall was the place to be.
Wow.
Our rotary phones, we'd dial our friends up and we'd pile into the station wagon and go to the mall. We'd listen to our records.
So you go to the vintage record store.
It was vintage. It was the record store.
Right. It was the record store.
We didn't listen to the oldies. We just listened to music.
Yes.
All right. Trending stories continue here on the Kevin Kelly Show. It's time for trending story number 3.
Boston Bruins president Cam Neely, no stranger to being in front of a camera. He was reportedly returned to the acting game, Kevin Kelly. He filmed the scene for Dumb and Dumber 2, the sequel to the wildly popular original that was released in 1994. What's unclear, though, if his part will actually make the final cut. Of course, Dumb and Dumber 2 returns Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels and comes out in November. Now, Kevin, are you a big Dumb and Dumber fan?
I was not.
Oh,
but my
unvaccinated, unfunny jack-off.
See, I know. No. Now, I got into it later. I got into it a little later because, again, I'm a little older, right?
Right.
But my buddy Matt Eisenberg helped me turn things around on Dumb and Dumber.
All right. Good to hear.
And I have seen it now 3 or 4 times over the last 4 years.
And you fully respect it.
It has grown on me immensely. Yes, it has. So.
It's grown on you like the rubella virus for your unvaccinated body.
Whooping cough.
Yes.
Which I'm a big fan of.
What are your favorite Jim Carrey films? Is that up there with one? Have you seen a lot of his work?
I like The Truman Show.
Yeah.
Which people are on. I love Man on the Moon. Of course, The Mask.
Ace Ventura?
The first one, yes. The second one, no. And the first one I watched a lot with my son. My first son, of course, is a little older.
The first one's so good.
Yeah, I've seen that movie quite a bit. He watched it a lot when he was 7 or 8 years old. And so I've seen it a bunch of times. The second one I didn't really care for as much.
Yeah, but, it was a cash grab.
Right. First one, classic. And what else? I didn't like Cable Guy, a little too dark for me. And haven't seen a lot of movies over the last few years.
Well, so. I'm hoping this one is a good bounce back for him. Yes Man was pretty good. He was in that one. I don't know if you saw that one. Zoe Deschanel was in there with him.
Which was the one where he was God?
Bruce Almighty, which is okay as well.
That was decent.
Yeah.
I did like that one. Let me relate slightly off topic, but with do you think they should make the Ghostbusters, the third one, or the reboot, or whatever it is they were going to do?
Without Harold Ramis?
Without Harold Ramis, who passed away.
It's tough. I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I mean, do you write it into the story?
I don't know.
You can't just do it and not reference him, right?
My wife and I were talking about it, and she's a huge Ghostbusters fan, you know, and all those movies were
our favorites.
She is
very attracted to very pale men, but go ahead.
Oh, you know, it's just so not right. Bill Murray said he's not doing it. Dan Aykroyd, though, appears to really be all in on this.
Oh, really? That's a shock.
I don't know.
He's all in at the buffet table.
Oh, with the jokes.
Well, I mean, he's robust. He's not John Goodman, though.
He's had a hot wife for many decades.
He has. I like Dan Aykroyd. He's funny.
Sure.
He's good in those roles where he's not the star, but he comes in and is just really funny in kind of that backup role, like was it Tommy Boy, where he's the manager of the plant there, the car.
Yeah.
Plant.
He owned the what was his company's name?
Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts now.
The brake parts.
Right. Yes. Zelensky.
Yes, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Zelensky, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
So, all right. There is trending story.
Farrelly Brothers, I wanted to ask you, too. Fan of them in general?
Yes, I am. Big fan. And I was going to say, because obviously their affinity for Boston and Boston sports is the reason why Cam Neely is in a part of this role, right?
Yeah, and all their movies are usually set in Rhode Island to start because they're from here. So that's always been their big... big thing,
will you be an extra? Will you go out there?
No, and you know what's funny? When my dad, growing up, my dad worked at New England Pest Control, which you may know is the famous Big Blue Bug that's on Route 95. And there were rumors that they were going to do Ace Ventura 2. There was going to be a scene there, and they were lining them all up for to be extras, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden it turned out it was actually Dumb and Dumber that scene was in when they drive by the Big Blue Bug. But they don't go inside or see anything. So, but they did make that film.
Why is Dan McGinn insulting me? I don't know. What did he say?
He said you're weak because that was when we initially thought you did not like Dumb and Dumber. He was commenting.
Okay. I see.
But now I know you've come around on that.
Yeah. No, I'll tell it like it is.
Because
it's like, it's like the people that say, no, I always loved it. And they hated it or they didn't get it. And they only recently got into it. And I was like this with music a lot. Because it would always be, oh, don't you like so-and-so? Oh, yeah, they've been my favorite, man. I've been listening to them since back in the day. Trust me, most of the time I would be like, I've never heard of them before, but I'm open-minded. Let's listen. Oh, I like them now. That's pretty cool.
Well, I can say I saw Dumb and Dumber in the theater, and I loved it immediately.
Who sang the Mary Moon song that you played for the lead there?
It was Dead-Eyed Dick.
Damn it. I couldn't remember the name of the group.
Great movie.
New Age Girl.
Yes.
Trending story number 4 is up next, and this is the last one, so I know it's going to be a good one. Black hole sun, won't you come? Before you start,
yeah,
based around the song,
yeah,
I know how this works. This black hole sun, so it's either going to be about blacks, holes, or suns.
Kevin, he's going to fight, and then he's not going to fight. He's going to sue, and then he's not going to sue. But now, Donald Sterling. I'm running out of songs with the word black in them. Now, Donald Sterling is going to fight and sue the NBA, Adam Silver, and his wife, Shelley. This guy's going out in a blaze of glory until he decides he's not going to do that, which could be tomorrow. From the onset of the audio release of Sterling's racially insensitive comments, it's been repeated that Sterling is a fighter and embraces litigation. He also embraces discrimination. His decision for now to fight the sale of the Los Angeles Clippers to ex-Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, a deal brokered by Shelley in a coup that appeared to bring a quick resolution to an ugly situation, is just another trick play in Sterling's keep-em-guessing legal playbook. And it looks like we're back to the lawsuit now, and I guess it's going to be a four-day lawsuit that's going to kick off in early July, and the hearing will be 4 days, that is, because the deadline to sell the team is July 15th for Ballmer to make the purchase. So
I think Shelley Sterling had said, had her husband declared mentally incompetent. Okay, I think this guy is crazy as a fox. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think he got caught on tape voicing his real opinions, and now he's in that keep him guessing mode, like you said. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's going to string this out, and I guarantee you, somewhere, somehow, some way, Ballmer's price for the Clippers is going to go up. Absolutely. The guy's got more money. He can do whatever he wants with it. And who cares what he pays for the franchise, even if it's not anywhere near worth $2 billion. Sterling's going to find a way to squeeze some more loot out of this guy. No doubt about it.
So you think that's what it's about? See, I don't think it's as much that. I just think he wants to make things as miserable as possible for everyone. And the NBA better be careful. They better hope they had everything lined up and all their ducks in a row. Because this guy seems to know what he's doing when it comes to legal battles.
Well, the very cold and curmudgeonly Lester Munson on ESPN broke it down for me, and I think the NBA, it's got a slam dunk case.
Okay.
Because of the way the charter is written. Mm-hmm. They basically can take your franchise away at any time.
Right.
So, Justin, you're on this show, you say something stupid, the NBA, because you're the owner of the Providence Bluefish, they could take away your franchise, and that's it.
It's kind of like if I own a Subway and I take a piss in the oven and someone finds out, they can take my franchise away.
Those bastards. I can't believe they did that to you.
You know, I went to Subway the other day for lunch, and I had a coupon, and I used the coupon, and the guy was like, that rang me out, was the owner, clearly. He had the little visor on. He's all confident about Subway. and he tries to tell me, he's like, well, you know, the bacon and the avocado is extra. And I said, well, that's your sandwich. It's literally turkey, bacon, and avocado. Like, that's actually the name of the sandwich. I'm like, how's that extra? And he's like, oh, well, I have a sign I'm supposed to put out that coupons aren't valid for this, but I'll let it go this time. I said, your whole system is so convoluted and confusing. I'm like, this, the coupons, the deals, the specials. I said, what happened to the $5 footlong? Everything was easy. I came in, I bought a sandwich with $5.
Yep.
And he told me that they were going out of business under that deal, so that's why they had to change it.
Wow. I've heard that before. I went to Subway today, similar type of thing. Got the 6-inch sub of the day, which was Black Forest ham and turkey. Wanted to get double meat on it. So how much is that? That's $1.50. So that's a $4 sandwich, right? $2.50, $1.50, $4.
Right.
We get to the register, and it turns out to be, with the soda that I got, $7. I go, you're overcharging me. Oh, no, no. When you get double meat on a sandwich, it's no longer the sub of the day. It's full menu price. And I looked at the woman. Now, it's by my office, so I eat there frequently, so I don't want to make a big stink.
Right.
But I was pissed. And I said, that's fine. I'll pay this today. You got over on me today, but you won't get over on me next time, will you? And she just looked at me. She's like a little Indian woman, you know. And I didn't yell or anything, but I just basically told her, knock it off, because that's enough. Because, yeah, it's crazy, right?
It's such a scheme over there. All these specials, they put a million coupons in the coupon thing that comes in the mail, and there's all these stipulations surrounding it.
I don't get, terms and conditions just bug the hell out of me. It either is or is not a sale. It either is or is not a deal, and that will shape my opinion if there's a bunch of legalese. You know, like these commercials, right, for all of these drugs, going back to your point about the vaccinations before, they'll advertise a drug on television. You notice they're all 60-second spots. And it's 15, 20 seconds of commercial and then 35, 40 seconds of disclaimer.
Yes.
You know, if you get diarrhea or heart palpitations or if your hair falls out or you turn blue, you know, call a doctor. That's the part that scares me. If everything is natural and whole, you don't have to spend a lot of time talking about, hey, it's natural. It's whole. It's right. Whole food. Here you go. It's healthy. It's good for you. If you eat this, everything will be fine. You shouldn't eat it like avocado. You can't go crazy and eat a ton of it. But if you eat it, it's very good for you. It's full of vitamins and
why can't you eat a ton of it?
Because of the fat content.
Oh, okay.
It depends
on
what
you eat. Is that a
healthy
fat?
It is, but you got to be careful because it depends on your predisposition for like cholesterol, things like that.
Okay.
You do have to be a little bit careful.
I have like immaculate cholesterol, so I can eat plenty.
You got like almost no cholesterol.
They tell me that my good cholesterol is actually a little bit low. I need to get that up. My bad cholesterol, perfect.
So go with, incorporate some almonds, do a little avocado, and you'll be in good shape.
A little fish oil. That's what I try and work in sometimes. But that aftertaste is just rough.
That's why you don't do that. You can get it naturally through food. So if
salmon.
You eat fish.
I eat a lot of salmon.
That's good.
I had some tonight.
It depends on where it's caught, though. You got to be mindful of that as well. Sometimes
fresh
those fish
Atlantic.
Farm. There you go. Yeah, see, you're in the right place.
I'm there.
Here in PA, it's a little landlocked. Sometimes I don't know where the thing comes from. So it's from the belly of that mystery sea creature off the coast yes. of Australia.
Some the river that goes by the Pirates Stadium there. Is it the river? Is it?
It's the Allegheny, the Ohio, and the Monongahela.
There you go. Those so the name of the river is not Three River?
No, it's Three Rivers. Okay. The intersection, that's where Pittsburgh is.
Gotcha.
All right, now. Trending Stories is done. That awesome, once again. Great job. And what else is next?
Well, why don't we spend a little bit of time, maybe a good 10 minutes here. Let's get into some sports talk, because we haven't gotten to do this the last few shows. We've had our interviews go along, and we have other stuff to do. Two things I wanted to hit on. One we're in the middle of, one's coming up. So let's start with the NBA Finals. Spurs lead 2-1. I feel like they've really dominated the series. Probably should be 3-0. There's some shenanigans in Game 2. I guess you could say shenanigans in Game 1, too. But what was your thought on the LeBron James cramping?
Well, I think it happens, and I've seen athletes, see it all the time in football, mainly in college football, during the summer when they start the season, August, September, loss of body fluid. These guys are so lean, and their body fat percentage is so low, it's easy to get everything out of balance, and there you go. You wind up cramping. Now, there was a part of me, having been in wrestling now for 24 years, that thought, this is fake. He's fake cramping, you know, but anyway, some of my wrestling friends have
said it sounds
said
like it's happened to you a lot.
That
people
the
fake
NBA
cramping
is a
to
complete
get...
scam. You think wrestling's...
People fake cramping to get away from you? Sounds like you've experienced that.
That's how my... Well, all through my high school years, it's yes. like, again, with the period? How many times a week do you get
Jeez.
This thing? All right.
Why do you think Scott and I fight on the podcast so much?
Yeah. I'll drive you home. But the
put on
no,
my monkeys record.
I'm a believer in the background. I just thought, and then the other half was, I wonder who flipped the switch on the air conditioning.
Yeah,
those are the two things that went through my mind. But
the Spurs seem like a straight up franchise. I can't imagine them doing that kind of stuff.
No, I know. And look at what if you think about the coach, right?
Yeah,
Greg Popovich. To San Antonio when they first made it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, 99?
Yep.
They were talking about, like, this is going to be the death of the NBA. They're, and then that one series where they played Detroit, then they played New Jersey.
Well, the Detroit one was like, to me, that was the bottoming out of the league.
Yeah.
After that, they turned things around. That's when they opened up the offense again.
Then they started to turn it around a little bit, but when they played Cleveland, 75-72.
Right.
That was game 3. Last night... They had 71 points at halftime.
They are phenomenal to watch. Their offense is beautiful. It's the way basketball should be played. I mean, they had one play. I was watching the clip today. I think it was on Deadspin. They had like 8 passes and weaving in and out and then hit a perfect layup. And it's just, it's amazing. Anyone who sits around and says the Spurs are boring hasn't watched basketball in like the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Because they have become an amazing Euro-style team. And I am hoping Bryce Cotton from Providence goes there. I think he's the perfect fit for a Greg Popovich team. A guy that'll do whatever you need him to do, well conditioned, can shoot, can drive, can play defense, and I think he'd be a perfect fit coming off the bench in San Antonio. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for the draft.
They have, and again, Popovich, as I started to say, has kind of changed mid course.
Yes.
Veteran coach, but was it
fantastic,
you know, that defensive minded? That's what you always thought of with the Spurs. You didn't think offense. You thought they're going to milk as much of the shot clock as you can. They're going to get the best shot that they can, hope to score, but then they're going to clamp you down on the defensive end and smother you, and it's going to be an ugly game. Now, like you said, Euro style, intricate passing, a lot of movement, and really a high octane. Parker pushes the ball across midcourt. The offense is getting set 4 or 5 seconds after he gets the ball. So they're really pushing it up.
And the best teams, too, are the ones now that have big men that can pass out of the post. Like, I mean, that's such a valuable skill to have in your team. A guy like Duncan, a veteran like him, and other big men around the league that can pass out of the post. I mean, this is a big part of the game if you can do that.
It's the center position has evolved since, you know, when I was a kid and it was the, you know, the big man on the low block. And now, again, it's the, you know, 6'10", 6'11 guy. Tim Duncan, to me, amazes me. I feel like he's been in the league my entire life. But it has only been 18 years. But I remember when he played college at Wake Forest, and still that seems like it was yesterday. How much longer do you think Tim Duncan plays? If they win this year, is that it for him?
I think – I don't know. Do you think Popovich goes with him?
Gosh, I don't know.
I think he said that. I feel like Popovich has said he'll probably go when Duncan goes. Here's a little fun fact. Do you know that when Rick Pitino was still at Providence, he was recruiting Duncan? And he was going to come, and then Pitino went to the
NBA. Wow.
I'm sorry, no. Pitino was Shaq. It was Pitino was recruiting Shaquille O'Neal for PC, and then he went to the NBA. It was Rick Barnes was recruiting Duncan, and then Barnes left, and he went to Wake Forest.
Wow, there you go. It's funny how, you know, the lives of athletes intersect in what almost could have been and what might have been. David Robinson was, you know, never supposed to be as tall as he was. He signed, you know, he signed for enlistment in the Navy and then had a growth spurt.
Yep.
You know, after his senior year of high school, and became 7 foot tall, and then wound up with the Spurs. With how did they have? Did they get Robinson? Was that on a lottery pick? Was that 2 years in a row they'd gotten a lottery pick? Something like that had happened.
I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
And what are the odds of that? And then, of course, Robinson.
Well, then the Duncan one. Yeah, the Duncan one was more luck, too. Because remember, the Celtics had tanked that year, and they ended up not getting the first pick. The Spurs did, and they got Duncan. And that was huge here. Or this area. I think Celtics fans are still kind of bitter about not getting Duncan that year.
I heard one soundbite that bothered me, and that was LeBron after, and it was in sort of the mix at the top of the hour on I think it was ESPN. And it was, you know, the San Antonio radio announcer going crazy because the Spurs were playing so well. And then it's, well, you know, LeBron James, I didn't play very well. I had too many turnovers. You know, it'll be another story that you guys all talk about, you know, LeBron, what he did. You know, that wasn't the story of the game at all.
No.
And maybe this soundbite just took him completely out of context. But all LeBron or anybody needed to say was, we got blown out of the gym tonight by a hot shooting team that couldn't miss.
Historically hot shooting.
Yeah. It's what, 75% in the first half?
At one point in the second quarter, they were at like 91% or something.
Jesus.
Like that.
And I go back to Georgetown Villanova 85 and the monumental upset of Villanova and, or, you know, of Georgetown by Villanova. They shot like they had one of those shooting games, like they shot like 70%. And people forget that. And this was before the three point line in college. So when you have that type of movement and that type of offense and the shots are going down, there's nobody that's going to beat you. Will they stay that hot? Do you think the format now, instead of 2-3-2, it's 2-2-1-1-1? Do you think that favors one team or another?
No, I don't. Not teams like this.
I don't feel it either. I don't think.
The Spurs are so veteran laden and the Heat are so, you know, athletically great. Although I don't know, what do you think LeBron's going to do? You think he's going to stay there?
I don't know. I get a weird feeling about LeBron. I don't know.
I mean, when you look at that team and it's like, I mean, do I really want to stay here? Wade is broken down.
Yep.
You know, Bosch has really turned it around, had a really good few years here, but how much more does he have really?
We kind of got that feeling from Grandy last show about how bad Wade is.
Yeah, awful. He does not look great. I mean, he's still making big shots here and there, but just overall body of work. I mean, you wonder how many years he's got left in the tank.
Right.
And the rest of that team's no great shakes, and I don't think Spoelstra is that great of a coach. I mean, he obviously got outworked by Popovich all series. I don't know if I don't know. I think he looks around, and you kind of look at Kevin Love, maybe. You kind of look at Carmelo Anthony. Maybe we get a new big three somewhere.
Yeah, I don't feel strongly about Carmelo at all. I don't feel strong. I don't know what it is about Kevin Love. I just don't.
Yeah, but you put them with LeBron. I mean, that's a great three.
You put LeBron with anybody, and it's a great three.
Right. I mean, Love is your third best player. That's sure. pretty fantastic. I mean,
well, yeah. and that would be a dream scenario for anybody. We'll see what happens.
Well, let's talk here that the Celtics, because they've been heavy into Kevin Love, and fans are starting to get a little excited, thinking the Celtics may trade for Love and then try and sign Carmelo in Boston.
Y'all can have him. I'm a Knicks fan, and please feel free to take Carmelo Anthony.
Come on.
Go right ahead. I think he's one of the most overrated players ever. I can't stand Carmelo Anthony. I just don't like it. I don't know what it is. I just don't like him.
He's a fantastic offensive player.
He just doesn't come up in big spots.
Hey.
He's never won. He's never done anything in his pro career. There were questions about him at Syracuse. I remember that before he came out, there were questions about him there. If he walked away from the
19.
Knicks,
it's a question about everyone. What the hell were you doing when you were 19?
Absolutely nothing.
There's still questions about you now. Never mind when you were 19.
47. Listen, I'm not downplaying, but when you command that kind of money and you command that attention from your own team, they build around you, they genuflect, they wait to see what's Carmelo going to do. Who cares? Go away. We can win 30 games without you. It doesn't matter. Go away.
Phil Jackson's run not off to a great start, by the way.
Why? You got Derek Fisher.
Well, yeah, the tampering charge. Wasn't there a couple other issues going on?
I think that was an accident.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
No, I mean, the comment of what he said was very innocuous. It was not like, I want Derek Fisher to be the coach of the Knicks.
Well, he did, obviously.
Well, he did, but it was more of, he wasn't talking about him coming over as a free agent player. He was talking about having a conversation with him as a coach. So I don't see how that's tampering. But anyway, the 25 grand, no problem. Here you go. I get 12 million a year. And getting Derek Fisher, I think, is great. Steve Kerr would have been fine, but Steve Kerr wanted to stay out on the West Coast. Derek Fisher was ready to take the challenge. Good, go for it.
What do you think of this trend lately of these rookie coaches with no baggage come right off the court into the onto the bench?
I like it. I always complain about retreads.
Doug Collins.
Yeah. In the NFL, it's round up the usual suspects as soon as a coach gets fired.
Right.
Who are the names? Well, we're going to have Norm Turner. We're going to bring Norv Turner in for an interview. We're going to interview Cam Cameron. We're going to interview Chan Gailey.
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher's name is always going to get thrown
around. Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips' name is always going to get thrown around. And then thanks to the Rooney Rule, you're always going to have a Leslie Frazier.
Get the fake interview out of the way. Yep.
Yeah, the Lovey Smith. You know, we had to do that for a while. Who's the guy? Jim Caldwell.
Yeah. He may or may not be alive, but
why? What's wrong with Jim Caldwell?
He always looks like he has no pulse on the sidelines.
He's a very quiet man.
The Ravens hired him, right?
He was their offensive coordinator, and didn't he get the head coaching job?
Oh yeah, Detroit.
Detroit, yes.
Talk about an overreaction, right? Because Schwartz was out of his mind, so they go complete 180 and get like the opposite.
The crazy eye. Schwartz had the crazy eye, which I never liked.
They bring in a corpse instead.
I don't want my coach to have a crazy eye. It's one of my few rules.
Crazy eyes killer.
I can't have that.
But back to the retread. I like this trend. I read an interesting tweet today from Peter Vesey. Do you follow him on Twitter?
No, I do not. I can't stand Peter Vesey.
Really? He's got a lot of interesting tweets because he's kind of out of the agenda business now. So he just really lets rip on everything, like announcers, players, everything. And he said that he thinks the Lakers should let Nash retire and coach. Because you'll get out of the money for your salary cap. He thinks he'll be a great coach. And why bring in another retread when the trend is going towards this? Guy coming right off the court. A smart basketball player like Nash. We'll see.
I would like that. But if I'm Nash, that might not be the situation I'm looking to get into.
You managing Kobe? Yeah, probably not.
Ooh, no thanks. I want to get away from that. Who's the coach in Memphis?
Oh, that whole mess. Hollins, is he still there?
No, Hollins got fired after 50 plus wins, and then they brought in Jokel.
Jokel. And then he was going to go. Where did he want to go? Minnesota.
He was going to go back to Minnesota.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him out.
and the owner apparently has, like, you know, he wanted to put an earpiece in the coach so he could give him plays, tell him who to sub in and out.
Talk about a franchise that really turned the corner, finally got its shit together. Now they're going right back down the tank.
It's like, and if Zach Randolph leaves, where are they going to be?
Yeah. I mean, they built a legit contender there for a few years, and then it's just... Yeah,
a good little team.
Well, I don't know. Didn't they make the West Finals a couple years ago?
They are strong in a much stronger conference than the East. And that's the thing, like, with the Knicks. They have it easy because the East sucks.
Yeah, well, they've been the ninth best team in the East for years. So what's that saying?
I know.
About them?
But when you talk about Atlanta getting in, and they were, what, 8 games under .500?
Yeah. Atlanta, so, I feel like no team has been the 8 seed more than Atlanta in NBA history.
Atlanta is the perfect. They beat, who was the number one seed they beat when it was Dominique Wilkins?
It was, no, they were the 1. Miami beat them, was the 8.
No, I'm thinking way back when.
Oh.
Dominique, or almost beat, maybe it was the Celtics.
Yeah, that could have been it. I think you're right. I think they lost in game 5.
Yeah, like 86, I think I remember that. And then, of course, you know, the one big upset was Denver.
Yep, Seattle.
With beating Seattle, Dikembe Mutombo clutching the ball in the court.
And they can give, I mean, Houston, who was, you know, very good that year with Elijah Wan, but I think they owe that ring to Denver in a way, because I think Seattle was really good.
Sean Kemp, right?
Oh, Rain Man. Oh. Sean Payton. I mean,
Gary Payton.
Sean Payton's the
Sean Payton.
Saints coach.
Gary Payton. That'd be awesome. Took a year off after the Bounty Gate, and now he's point guard for the Sonics.
Was Detlef there yet? I think he was, right? We'll see later.
No. Was he winding down at that point?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm mixing up the Sonics teams. Was Detlef, later years with like Ray Allen and stuff?
Yeah, or wasn't he with, wait a minute, Detlef Schrempf?
He was in Indiana. Yeah, 94.
You know who I'm thinking of is Jack Sikma.
Oh, actually, no, he was in Indiana till 93, then he went to Seattle.
Okay.
In 94. So he was there for the big years with Kemp. And,
Did you have Kemp and Payton on your NBA Jam?
Always, yes.
Yeah, that's how I remember, like, the great two man combinations was by NBA Jam.
And those are the best years of the NBA when you could fill out 2 stars on every team for a game like that.
And now
you're trying to do that now.
Oh, gosh, it'd be, first of all, it'd be a lot of foreign guys, so nobody you wouldn't know how to pronounce their name. But, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this finals go. It is still 2-1.
Right.
So Miami could turn it around.
I really hope the Spurs.
I really do. I like the Spurs. I like Pop. I like the mix of players they got. I like their offensive philosophy. But LeBron's the best player in the game. But we'll see what happens to him down the road. What's going on with my Rangers? Is there a pulse? Is there anything left?
They're up 2-1. I'm trying to see the time here for you. 5:49 left in the second.
Too much time left.
What's going on, Heinrich? And everyone says he's supposed to be the best goalie in the world, and he's blown 4-goal leads, 3-goal leads, 2-goal leads. Like, what's going on?
Well, I think LA is, nobody's giving LA credit for being as great as they are. I had a bad feeling of it going in that I was like, oof, sweep, Kings in 5. I just don't. The Rangers don't have the horses that the Kings do. When you're the best goalie in the league and you're two goals against guy like Henrik, you've got to come up big in these big spots, and he hasn't done it. He hasn't let in a lot of soft goals. There's been a lot of screens. His defense has kind of let him down in spots. They push the puck up a lot, and the only great time that they had success against the Kings was when they really stopped the rush at the blue line, when they let them get in deep. And they take, especially in the odd man situations, and their shots from the point, God, they've just been lethal. So, I don't know. I'm disappointed. It's not over, but it is over, even if they win tonight.
All right, well, let's do this quick 2 or 3 minutes on the World Cup. Any interest in the World Cup? Do you watch it?
I do. I really follow the U.S. And once they're done, I will lose interest in it. But it depends on the matchup. If I think there's a possibility of some rioting, I will watch. Is that wrong?
No.
So, yeah, if it's Brazil, Portugal, if it's, if it's one of those matchups, if it's Germany, oh, gosh.
England.
Well, Who are you picking, by the way?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on Brazil. And I think that they feel like they really need to win with all the money they dumped into the stadium and getting everything ready. So I'm going to go with Brazil. I'm going to go with the home team.
All right, I'm going to go with Spain.
Spain's not a bad pick. They're probably the most likely to win.
And that's only because they are the favorite.
I'll be rooting on Italy, as always. I'll break out my jersey that I wear once a year for St. Mary's Day festivities and every 4 years for the World Cup.
That's great.
It's always fun. I like when the big events come. I like when the Olympics come, the World Cup. You know, there's stuff going on. It's fun. It's exciting. I can't say I watch every game, but it's cool to wake up and know what's on or follow it along at work for the games and everyone's into it. I mean, do you think soccer's ever going to get big here?
I think it's getting bigger.
I agree.
I think that there are... I think the MLS is doing a great job of constructing smaller stadiums.
In cities that are starved for it.
Yeah, and when you go to Columbus, Ohio, or Kansas City,
Seattle,
those fans are nuts.
They outdraw the Mariners.
Their crowds are exactly the blueprint of what you want soccer in America to be. And every time we go to Columbus with Ring of Honor, you know, the soccer stadium is right there. It's next door. So I look at it and it probably doesn't hold more than 25,000 people. It's like a small college football stadium, but it's very nice. And that's the type of experience that the fan wants. I think Philly has a small stadium. I know that New York's getting a team that's going to play at Yankee Stadium before they build a stadium of their own.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So that's a good thing. Plus, there's like local club teams that I know do good business and draw. There's, I think, an increased level of interest in soccer. I feel it. And, my son is 7 and he played soccer this year. So maybe that's a reason why I kind of feel that way. And it's a World Cup year.
No, it does seem like it's catching on with the younger generation. And you know, I think baseball is going to be wary of it. I think hockey. See, this is a time where if I'm hockey, I think I slowly start to take the teams out of the South. I think I refortify up north where I'm big.
What about contraction?
Yeah, I think I contract a couple teams, and I think I move a couple more up to Canada if you can find the right spots for it. And I think you become a completely northern and Canada sport with the expectation that soccer is really going to start taking over the warmer areas.
But the Kings set records and have done huge
I'm not talking
business.
About the Kings. I'm not talking about California. I'm talking more about Phoenix. I'm talking more. Well, is Phoenix gone? No, they're still there, right?
They're still there. I don't know where the ownership and that whole situation stands. It was a mess for a long time.
Phoenix, Carolina, the Florida teams, the Panthers. I mean, come on.
Panthers are a joke. I hate Carolina because of the Hartford deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, like when the Hawks, when they moved and went to Winnipeg, that made me happy.
You mean the Thrashers?
The Thrashers. Yep. The Hawks. Who did the Hawks become?
No, that's Atlanta Hawks' basketball.
Basketball. No, there was a team. I'm trying to think. Did Atlanta have a hockey team way back when?
Oh, maybe they were.
I'm trying to remember who that was. But anyway, I don't know how many more northern cities can support NHL hockey.
Ah, Hartford. Bring them back.
Do they have an arena?
Sure.
Not that crap Civic Center.
No, they'd have to build one. Well, the minor league team does really well there. There's like a Hartford Whalers AHL team that draws very well.
Right.
I'm sure there's another Canadian city they could find. I mean, weren't they talking about doing the one in Hamilton or another one in Montreal?
I think they didn't want to get too close with Toronto. I think there was some pushback from Toronto and also from Detroit.
Those fan bases are ingrained, though. Come on.
Only because of market size and television. That again, the what's his face, the cheap owner of the Orioles, went crazy when they put in Angelus. Peter Angelus when they were going to have the Washington Nationals. He went crazy.
Put a team in Prince Edward Island.
Sure, why not? I think there could be another team. Well, you've got the Islanders situation. I think stinks. I think the Devils are not
solid. The Islanders are moving to Brooklyn now,
with the same owner.
No, didn't he sell?
I don't know.
I thought he said Wong sold.
I think he's a joke. I'm not sold on the Devils in Newark. And, you know, there's some teams that have got to straighten up their house. I think a lot of the league is strong. I know attendance is really strong around the country. Some buildings are like 98% full. which is great. That is fantastic. But there are some markets that are weak. You mentioned them, Florida, Carolina. The Phoenix situation is a mess. We got to get more teams in Canada, but it's got to be the right thing. So we'll see. The Canadian market for everything right now is strong because the economy is booming.
Right.
You know, with all the oil business up there. Business is growing by leaps and bounds in Canada. And you go to a major American cities right now. You go to Canada, you go to Toronto, and you see a lot of cranes in the air, right? Mm-hmm. And you go to most major American cities now, except in Texas, you don't see a lot of cranes because there's not a lot of big buildings going up. There's not a lot of, you know, huge construction projects. Everybody's kind of playing close to the vest. So we've gotten way off topic here. This is awesome.
Why don't we go to break?
What else we got?
Let's take a breather. Let's come back.
I don't have a run sheet. Dan McGinn fell down.
Well, this is it. We're taking a break right here, I'm telling you.
We take a break and then we come back and we're going to do a game?
We're going to do a game. We'll do one or two Twitter questions and we'll wrap things up.
Oh, tremendous. All right. Kevin Kelly Show continues right here on The Place to Be Nation. Now blend in with me as I proceed to break it down. It's always off the chain, man, when I'm around. I play the block pumping.
It was all for the dough. I get the club jumping. Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as The Brad and Chad Show. And I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week. It's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, Giorgio Bellino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
We're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show, here on the Place to Be Nation. In 2 weeks' time, we'll have another show with another guest. We're working on some things because that is host best in the world, so I don't know what we're going to do yet. But we'll figure it out. It'll be a lot of fun. And I want to thank you for joining us, as always, and spreading the word. And of course, go back in the archives and listen to the first 10 episodes from our first guest, Adam Cole, all the way through AJ Styles, and DDP, and our most recent guest in the archive, which was Sean Grandy of the Boston Celtics. Have a listen and share and tell everybody about it. All right. We've got a few minutes left here on the show. JR, what are we going to do, a game? Are we going to do some Twitter questions? What do you want to do first?
All right. We have one. We're going to hold off Twitter again one more time. Apologize for our tweeters. Yes, I think we're running out of time. I have one email question.
Who are our tweeters?
Steven Sutton, JD Virgilio, ROH Pittsburgh. We'll get to you guys next episode, we promise. We went a little bit longer than we thought with the sports. So I have one email.
ROH Pittsburgh, by the way. Good job tipping me off on Mark Madden the other day. Nice job.
What did Madden do now?
He complimented me. Said I'm the best play-by-play man in the business right now.
That's nice. All right. So we got one email question, and then we're going to do a little bit of sleaze thread, continue from last week.
Oh, sleaze. Okay, good.
Okay. From our buddy Jordan Duncan. Email comes in. His son came home from school yesterday and said his friend saw a kid in class doing something weird. And he proceeded to show him doing a masturbation motion under his shirt. And apparently this kid was doing it 4 to 5 times a day. So we have to explain to their kid that it is first what it is, first off, and then we're having to figure out how they're going to tell the teacher. Well, today the teacher caught the kid in the act. Kevin, this is fifth grade, so the kids are 11 or 12.
Right.
I'm going to ask you four questions. I want your answer to each of them.
Okay.
What would you have done if you were the teacher?
Any of these questions can be answered with one simple thing. This is about avoidance. So who can I, as the teacher, who can I pass this kid off to? I will very quietly, quickly remove this child from the room, take him down to the office, and then instruct someone in the office of what's going on, another adult, and say, y'all need to deal with this. I got 29 other kids back in my room. See ya. I'm not doing anything with this. I am not touching this with a 10-foot pole if I am that teacher. No pun intended.
All right.
But I am glad. I am very glad. Who is our emailer?
Jordan. I'm not done yet, though. Hang on.
No, but Jordan, I do want to compliment you because these types of questions and scenarios should only be discussed with professionals that you find right here on the Kevin Kelly Show. So good job. Excellent.
All right. B, what would you have done if you were Jordan, the parents?
Again, I would have said nothing. I would have made up a story that that this child is actually from a foreign land and that this is a greeting that only he can do. Okay. But you need to stay away from that child. I'm not stooging off that. See, I heard you say that he was going to tell the teacher, but before they could tell the teacher caught the kid, right?
That's what it sounds like based on the scene.
I think that's a bad call. That's never something you want to get involved in. You avoid avoidance at all cost. This is not something that you cannot win in this situation as a parent or as a teacher or as an administrator.
Okay. Well, number C, what if you were the person that had the misfortune of sitting next to this child? You were another child in the room and you discovered this.
Well, I mean, you've got years of material to talk with your psychiatrist, the analyst.
I wonder what subject it was. Like, what book?
See, I sat next to the kid who picked his butt.
Yeah.
And smelled it. Okay. Joseph Lopez, he dug in his drawers, he pulled his finger out, and he smelled it. And this was in second grade, third grade. So I remember this vividly. And occasionally, like, we'd be playing on the playground and he'd get close to you and he just smelled like he had just gone digging. So, but I never told on him. I never said anything to anybody. Are you kidding me? Ugh.
Okay.
So,
D, what if you were the masturbating kid?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. What if you're the parent of the masturbating kid? That call.
What if you're at the table one night, you call in a Ring of Honor match, and you look over and Carino's under his shirt?
It's every time Adam Cole's music hits. Are you kidding?
That's true. Anytime Maria comes out.
That was Nigel.
Yes,
Nigel gets tongue-tied around her. Like,
I can't blame him. What are we going to have her on? You tease me, we only got stuck with Bennett.
That's a good idea. That's a good question. Before she starts, yeah, we got to get her before the wedding.
It'll be our first video podcast.
You can talk her out of this craziness, right?
Oh, I'm ready. Got my pitch all lined up. All right. Speaking of Maria, let's get to the sleaze thread.
Wait, now the sleaze thread we talked about last time, this was born of the old DVD message board.
Yes.
A huge sleaze thread, Urban Legends. Humongous. And I give my percentages on what I think is true, what I think is not true.
Right. So we're going to do five this week. We did 10 like last week. We're tight on time here.
If the sleaze last week was Jerry Lawler with a teenage girl, I would have said 100% true.
Okay.
That's just an example.
I have a feeling our next one's going to be 100% true. But
okay.
All right, here we go. Steve Lombardi is or was Pat Patterson's secret lover.
That is absolutely not true.
Oh.
100% not true.
Okay.
I know that for a fact.
All right. Bruce Hart, a substitute teacher, while a top face promoter booker in Stampede, impregnated a 14-year-old student and married her.
I remember this story when it came out. I thought it was going to be a link to that masturbating kid story, which would have been just great if it all tied in.
We got that one coming. That's going to be our last one. No pun intended.
I've got to say this is like 83% true.
I feel like Bret Hart talked about it in his book, to be honest.
That's why I'm going with such a high percentage, but I'm hedging my bet a little bit because I don't remember it exactly. But yeah, I do remember there's some being some.
I think Brett questioned her work rate. Is it 4 out of 10, something like that? All right. Dusty Rhodes got Baby Doll fired because he was pissed that she married near jobber Sam Houston instead of him.
That is, boy, Karina would be the one to ask about this.
What you doing marrying that jobber Sam Houston?
Sam Houston was not a jobber, but Sam Houston did want to beat Steve Corino up, and then he didn't remember it. Yeah, ask Steve to tell you the Sam Houston story, and it's an entertaining tale. Oh gosh, I would say,
come on, baby, I'll divorce Sapphire, and then you 50, come we'll get married, baby doll.
58% true, not as literal as you said. I think though that Baby Doll's time was up and maybe he didn't appreciate the fact that she was going to be married and be part of the road and be with somebody else. And it's time to move her on. So maybe, but not as directly as the rumor would imply.
Put on those polka dot panties. All right. According to Japanese tabloids, Giant Baba was bisexual and Genichiro Tenryu had penis enlargement surgery.
I am not that strong on my Japan, but again, Bobby Fish earlier on said that there was some freaky stuff that you would see over there in Japan. So I am going to go 76% true because we are very close to the 4th of July. And this is, we're talking about America here, right? No, we're talking about Japan. 76% true.
He's Samoan. I don't care. He's from Japan.
That Baba was
he's got a big bisexual enough penis.
See, now I always thought that Mrs. Baba and Johnny Ace were,
Marty Funkhauser?
I don't know. Again, could be anything. But as far as Tenryu having penis enlargement surgery, I don't know. Did Buff Bagwell have calf implants?
Did Katao have penis implants?
I don't know who that is.
He's Tenryu's partner at WrestleMania 7.
Okay, good.
All right. Are you ready for possibly the most vulgar discussion in Kevin Kelly show history?
Oh,
our next one.
I hate this. All right, go.
All right, and it plays into our story from earlier, our email. The Rock and Roll Express walk into a room where Jimmy Valiant is laying on the floor, masturbating under a glass table that a hooker is standing and taking a shit on. Ricky throws up and leaves, but Robert stays around to watch.
I have heard this story.
You have?
I have. I am going to say it is 91% true because I've heard this story from several different sources and you told it beautifully. You can get lost in the weeds with some of the, but you got right to the chase.
Nice.
You know, you set the scene beautifully and you paid it off with, but Robert Gibson stayed to watch. So yeah, that.
Yeah, one eye on the door and one eye on the table.
Oh man, that way you always know how to get out of the room. That's not nice. But again, that was a disgusting story. You preface it well, and 91% true that all of that I think really happened in real life.
All right, take us home, Kevin.
Well, this is enough, and we've done quite enough. It's all we can do, and then some. In a couple of weeks, we'll do it again, though, and we'll have another guest to talk about it. So it's that'll be even more fun. Enjoy the Father's Day and get out and celebrate. If Dad is still a part of your life, celebrate with him. It's time to put the past in the past. Forgive old wounds and make peace with the past. If your dad is not around anymore, then celebrate his life. Don't dwell on the negative. Celebrate the positive. And if you are a dad, make sure you're the best dad that you could be. And if the kids and the wife forget you, hold it over their head all year long. For our producers, Dan McGinn, and my good pal, Justin Rosero, I want to thank our guest, Bobby Fish, for being here. This is the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation.
Kick his ass, Seabass. Jerk it out.